When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let me bang.
Greetings, nerds and virgins.
Go for Jesus! Not for gay Jesus, people!
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfucker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Hey, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. I'm here. We got a special Friday show with Bill Dawes and my buddy Aldo. We've had Aldo on the show before. We also have four-time All-American Bryce Meredith coming on the show, who's undefeated UFC fighter, who's just insanely talented.
Is he in the UFC at this point?
He just signed with Bellator. He's 3-0. He signed with Bellator. He was he made the national finals. I'm getting echo. So one of you guys has echo a little bit. He made the national finals. He lost to a guy named Yanni. I'm not even going to try to attempt.
Yeah. I got it written. That guy beat him wrestling too.
No, Yanni in like wrestling, I'm saying. In wrestling in the NCAA finals.
He
lost to this guy who
that dude's brutal. Yeah, he's brutal.
And it was a close match. It was once in a lifetime. But he also he's just the man. And then also we got Patrick Downey on the show. So we got two really good guests. I'm actually coming out of couples therapy with my wife. Literally an hour ago, not even like 10 minutes ago. So I almost teared up during it. And then my couple therapists like, how old are you? I kind of threw like a temper tantrum actually. But it was good. It was actually, it was actually great. It was all me. It wasn't because of my wife. It was just like,
can you share with the class?
He just came out of couples arguments.
Well, because I asked, I'm making a new CD and I have to like fix it up, and Bree's great at editing, and I'm editing like five sets at each other. So I'm like, hey, but I gave her like 90 notes on it. I gave her way too many notes. And then it was too much. So then I'm like, fine, I'm done asking you for things. I'm like, I give up. I'm done. I'll do it myself. Never asking you again. And I kind of threw a temper and I'm like, but it was me. It was.
Why would you ever get your wife to do that job? Oh my God. Have you heard of slave labor in the Philippines? Come on.
Yeah, I know. That's one thing. But also, like, I have to be nicer to myself. I'm learning just in general. All day long, I go around beating myself up. I have the most negative. Like, I do positive things, like whether it's coaching wrestling or the podcast or this, that. But literally in my fucking head, I'm like, I'm a failure. And I'm a failure. And everything I do, like last week I had billboards in Las Vegas. I'm on the marquee. The kid that was handing out flyers in Times Square, getting spit on, begging people to come to comedy shows, would have loved
Bill, we'll go do a show. He kills it, right? He kills it. And one lady might yell something. He goes, do you think that was bad? Or like, do you think they didn't like, dude, you just fucking killed it, man. You do more in a day than most people do in a year. I don't understand how in my head,
I'm always like one gig away from everything getting canceled. Like I'm always like, it's literally like, I did well, but they're not going to have me back. Or yeah, this was good, but this person's going to complain. Or this was good, but I'm not as funny as the features did better than me. It's always in my fucking head. And, it's just a terrible way to live. It's that combined with like a severe OCD. Like people don't realize this. Like I used to drive around my block and I'm like, I hit somebody. No, I didn't hit anybody. No, I fucking hit somebody. Somebody's dead.
But you're also stoned when you're doing that. I'm be honest.
I would circle the block for hours looking for people that I hit. I knew in my head I didn't hit anybody. I knew I didn't hit anybody. But in my head, like, the worst thing you could do is think I would never do that, because thank you. It's like quicksand. It's, you have to, like, I have to normalize not combating that thought, because if I combat the thought, it gives the thought actual, like, it gives it worth. So
what you resist persists, right? That's the phrase. What you resist persists.
And then I got kicked off a show recently. I didn't even get,
why?
I got suspended from a show because, dude, every fucking show was great, but a couple people walked out anyway. So I got, I'm not even going to give it, but I got suspended. Yeah. So,
was this locally or was this out of state?
Out of state. But, it was this normalized gig. I still have whatever. So I'm just like, but right away that goes to, well, now I can't afford my house. I can't afford my mortgage. I'm going to broke. My wife's going to leave me. I'm going to live in a one bedroom. I'm going to have to live with Aldo. we're going to have to start this wrestling club. No one's going to join. Hey, I'm going to be,
I live in a micro studio and I have a baby mama. You're way better off than me, Adam. Come on. It's all good.
And what's so bad about living with me, man? I got a big ass couch for you.
No, dude, Aldo's one of my best friends. If you haven't already tuned off this fucking podcast due to anxiety, we'll talk about how great. So me and Aldo have been coaching wrestling for 15 years, Bill. And he's by far the funniest. You've never met a more old school coach. This guy is. Dude, he got. All right. So
was my character based on Aldo at all?
There was another guy named Dixon who came in there and started teaching WWE wrestling moves to my kids. Like, I had to go away, and I came back, and the kids were all doing like fucking DDTs and figure fours and nothing legal. Like, a kid had a single leg and he was cartwheeling out of the single leg, and I'm like, which looks great in a WWE wrestling match. So Aldo, like, it's such a good coach that Harvard Westlake, which is like, you know, the top premier prep school, like $40,000 a year in middle school. So they went and recruited him, right? So
yeah,
he went there. So a week later, Aldo's coaching them, right? So it's me versus Aldo now. And this other guy, their main coach, which was this guy was the biggest dick. This dude was having the kids cut weight in middle school. Like, literally having, and lying about the weight classes. Like, yeah. I literally weighed his kids in without telling them. To be like, hey, why is this kid, you have him at 75, but he weighs 82? Oh, well, I didn't know we were going to have weight cuts. Are we going to have weigh-ins today? Right? So,
oh, God.
So now it's me versus, so this guy, like, I can't stand this guy. He weighs, you know, kid's getting pinned on the team. And he's like,
preface it that I don't like him either. They brought me in to try to help him out, to get him back on the right track, which was a travesty in itself. But I went in there trying to help get him on the right track.
Yeah, so now I'm coaching against Aldo, right? And the whole time I'm like, do the move Aldo showed you last week. I'm like, no. So I'm yelling at them to do all those moves, and Aldo's miserable because he's got to deal with this coach, but he's laughing, right?
I'm laughing. Like, no. God, it was hysterical.
So then Aldo comes up to me after the match, and he's like, "Yo, man, here's some Viagra for your wife." I'm like, "Dude, we're at a fucking middle school wrestling match," and he's giving me Viagra. but then he didn't get the job because he didn't pass the background check because of a fight 25 years ago.
I jumped ship and came back at him.
By the way, people on my Instagram, I every day I doubt whether or not people can take, like, so I wrote, right, like, when Tommy Fury won, I go, Tommy Fury, who beat Jake Paul, who beat Anderson Silva, who beat Vitor Belfort, who beat Hendo, who beat Fedor, who beat Mir, who beat Hunt, which I got that wrong, right? Who beat the Black Beast, who beat Ngannou, equals Tommy Fury is the best heavyweight in mixed martial arts right now, right? Like, yeah, I just did, it was an obvious joke. People are arguing with me. Dude, your math is wrong. That's not right. MMA doesn't count. I can't believe it. This is why, like, there's no way this would happen. I'm like, are people this dumb? Are people this dumb? Like, do they really think I think this?
Yeah. Exactly.
So yeah, then I had traffic court yesterday because I got I got two fucking red light tickets. They're $550, right? And I'm like, yeah, and points on your license, right? So I'm like, all right, I'm like, I'll just keep extending it, right?
Yeah.
So I end up going, and it's on Zoom, right? It's you can call in. You don't have to go to court, right? So
that's
I tell my wife, I'm like, watch me. I'm going to be the Law and Order. I'm going to be the best. Watch me win.
Did you get dressed up?
No, because you can't see me, right? But I was pacing around the room like I had the thing. Like I made it. I made her room into a real fucking court, right? I got fucking. I lost this so quick, dude. I had this Jewish fucking lawyer, Jewish judge, who was like 80. Judge Rosenblum. I go, first of all, I want to say you're doing an amazing job, right? I just want to say you are unbelievably as a judge. She goes, I don't get paid enough, right? That was right away. Fucking bam, like. Dude, they had the video. I didn't make a complete stop on right. I made a stop on red, but I made a rolling stop. So you know how you have to make a complete stop, and I made a rolling. I'm like, okay, I'll just say.
What's a rolling stop? It means you didn't stop.
Yeah, right? They said I made
the word stop shouldn't be in there.
Dude, they had so many. Dude, this fucking traffic light goes off all day. It doesn't matter. So I'm like, my defense was that this light is broken. And it is broken. The light is broken. What I did was wrong, and the light is broken, right? So I say to the cop, I go, this fucking cop comes in there and does a 35 explanation about, you know, putting in the camera and the
4 seconds
and 6 seconds and what I did and how he works for the California. So I go, they're like, do you have any questions for the cop? I go, yes, sir. Have you ever seen this light before? Have you ever, and then like, objection, the fucking judge completely objected. My first question was, she goes, objection. She goes,
wait, the judge said objection?
Yeah, the judge said objection. She's like,
I thought that was a lawyer who did that.
No, there was no lawyer. The judge said objection. This has nothing to do with the case or something. And then I go, all right, I have no further questions. Like, I was one and out, right? And then she sees the video of me completely making a rolling stop and almost hitting like, and she's like, it could have been worse. You actually lucky that fucking this, blah, blah. And then she's like, do you want traffic school? And I said, no, because I ran through that light a month before and I already have traffic school and you can't take traffic school 18. So the judge goes like this, fucking hits herself in the head. And yeah, so that was I was the worst lawyer in the history.
They didn't dismiss it?
No, they dismiss it. No, fucking, they almost added. And then I go, and then while she's going this, I go, ugh. And then my wife's like, stop it. Like my wife's like, stop making these noises. It was like, yeah, it was bad.
That's great.
Meanwhile, so anyway, let's talk about some fights. So did you obviously watched the John Jones fight?
That was great. I enjoyed that whole card, man.
Yeah, card was amazing.
Yeah, it was fun.
Now, I mean, I knew this was going to happen. You got one guy. John Jones is a very underrated wrestler. He's also super high fight IQ. I knew he was going to figure out, like, this guy is not good at wrestling. He's from France. He's a kickboxer. French aren't known for their wrestling, I don't think. Maybe they gotten better, but when I was a kid, French, they weren't exactly winning the Olympics.
Yeah.
And exactly what happened. And that's what happened. Jones just took him down, choked him out. Now, people are saying he's the greatest of all time. I'm sorry, but if you get busted for steroids, you can't be the greatest of all time. It's like...
Hashtag. That called? Asterisk.
Asterisk. It can't happen. I'm sorry. I mean, do you agree, Bill?
Where did he wrestle?
He wrestled for Iowa. He I think he won the states in New York. And then he went to Iowa Junior College, like some kind of junior college in Iowa. And he also, Bree, that other cat's here. Dude, our cat has a boyfriend who shows up.
Does he bring flowers?
Dude, he comes on Father's Day. Like he's like legit, like he's dude, that cat's by our window now looking for Hissa.
Well, I mean in terms of the PEDs and testosterone, whatever and testing, first of all, didn't John Jones get kind of exonerated based on his metabolites or whatever the fuck it was?
Basically picograms. They did this and that. But I don't know. It's just like – so anyway, he ended up going to the same college as Colby Covington, by the way. And Bill, there's a naked girl behind you. So thank you for that.
How come I didn't see it?
What are you talking about? It's not.
Yeah, there was a girl, and I think she was in a towel. Do you see him?
Oh, come on.
He came right by our window. Really, right by our window.
No, Adam, that's a myth. That must be a ghost.
Must be a ghost. No, are you in your trailer?
No, I'm actually in San Diego.
Oh, okay.
I'm in a little Airbnb in San Diego.
I never know where you are. Like this, Bill is the most Aldo. He's the most mysterious human being in the world. He works. He works every week on a different TV show.
No, God, no. You kidding me?
And he's always begging me for work, this fucking asshole. He's like, hey, man, give me some headlining gig. I'm like, literally, you're on a show with fucking Kira Sedgwick or with this one or with that other guy, the Footloose guy, Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon, but I tell you what, man, it doesn't help you get headlining gigs.
No, you're right. Like, since being on Star Trek, I've not got one comedy person hit me up. They do my show. But it does get you like props. I mean, it should, though. You just have to.
Yeah.
You should start posting this shit. And so Aldo, by the way, is in a documentary about Chippendales. He was one of the original Chippendales.
Dude, that's getting that's getting me a ton of work.
Dude, all right. I'll give you a little history of Aldo.
I haven't left my bedroom.
So, Bill, I met Aldo.
Although, how much gay sex did you have as a Chippendales dancer? I mean, dude, I know. Here's the thing.
Everybody, I was just saying last night. Everybody said, "Oh, those guys are gay. Those guys are gay." I'm like, "Yeah, we're cool. Yeah, say we're gay as we're banging your girlfriend. That's cool. I'm fine with that. You call me whatever you want as your girlfriend leaves my apartment. That's fine. You call me whatever you want." But it was basically they had ensemble dancers, like four guys who kind of carried the show that were really good dancers. They were flamers by a long shot. But most of the guys. Dude, we were putting out 3-4 women a night. So yeah, I used to laugh.
But you must have crossed swords at some point, right?
I didn't do a lot of stuff with the other guys. Maybe once in a while we had somebody that they passed around kind of, but I kind of just took them out.
By the way, happy International Women's Day.
Thank you. Look, it was a different time. Toxic masculinity was cool.
Dude, he's not kidding, bro. So, all right. So I meet Aldo, right? And he tells me, hey, I used to coach wrestling. Can I help coach? And I was like, I needed a coach desperately, right? He comes in, but at the same time, I'm like, cut to years later, he has to take a course, how to talk to kids in 2022. Like they made him take a course, right? Because he calls a bunch of kids sissies. I'm like, you can't call them sissies anymore. You can't tell, dude. It's he got kicked out.
Can you call him lazy? Can you call him anything?
I don't know. I started a club and I said to them, I said, look, if I say something in here, it's in here, and I'm just, you know, venting. Like the thing is, it wasn't meant like meanly. I'm like, you know, the thing was, I can see if you're saying to somebody like harsh and mean, saying something like that, calling them a slur. But, you know, clown around with the kids. You can't even clown around with kids anymore and say, you know, like you said, sissy. You say sissy, like, oh, you can't say that anymore. That's why I love your joke about pretty soon we're going to be saying you hit like a boy. Like,
Aldo. I'm sorry, go ahead. I interrupted you. Finish.
He's got a great bit where he says things are changing so much. Instead of saying you hit like a girl, you're going to say you hit like a boy. I was thinking about it the other night. It was funny because somebody's saying you throw like a girl. And I wanted to say, no, you throw like a boy.
By the way, Aldo, you should just do your coaching in drag. That way you're off the hook. No one will get you in trouble.
That's a great idea.
If you say sissy, you're performing.
That's exactly it.
It's part of the show. Don't kink shame me.
Dude, so by the way, Bill, one of the people that had you playing Pinned was basically based on Jay Moore, who showed up one day. And he hit. So I asked Jay, hey, man, Jay shows up at my house with Aldo. I don't know Jay Moore he shows up and he's like, hey, oh, I love wrestling. It changed my life. You're a great coach. And he seemed like he knew enough. I mean, I'm teaching very basic, right? So they added a season to us. So I'm like, fuck, I had an audition. And Jay, I'm like, I'm pitching to Jay. He's like, oh, you want me to help coach today? Let me run practice. It'll be great. Okay.
Now, wait, beforehand, no, he calls me, goes, look, can you make sure you're there? Just keep an eye on him.
So
you had a gut feeling.
So Jay sends me a 10-page email about what he did in the practice, right? So he lines the kids up and he goes, all right, kids, this is your life. You're born, okay? You're walking a two. At three, you got your, four, you got your first girlfriend. Then you're trying drugs. Then you do cocaine. Before you know it, you're on heroin. You get fired. You get divorced. You get, then you die of colon cancer. Like just fucking like tells these kids, your wife leaves you. Just go through like his life, right? And yeah. this is their 11. Like they don't need to know they're gonna get colon cancer. They don't know they get divorced. None of them have tried heroin, right? So, dude, like I have parents calling me up saying, why is my kid telling me he's gonna get colon cancer in wrestling practice, right?
So the idea was good. Like when I saw it on paper, when you sent it to me, I fell out. He was in the room and he touches the wall, the paint on the wall. And he says, this is your wrestling career. Like his idea started out good. Like he was trying to say how short your wrestling career is. And then your rest of your life's going to happen. But he went really dark, really quick.
That's like really funny.
He went into his life.
Yeah, his life. You get fired from Saturday Night Live. You do this. You do that. You get kicked off this. You get kicked off sports. I'm like, dude.
But then you marry the owner of the Lakers, and everything works out again.
But I'm not even going to get into like how I really feel about some of these things because I could probably get sued. But but Jesus, I mean, that was some of the things we had a kid one time show up to practice wasn't even on our team. No, show up to a match. Like we're a month and a half in. And some kids like, I'm here for the wrestling match. Kid look tough as hell. But I'm like, is that kid on our team? And one kid's like, I want to go to our school.
Oh, man.
Then there's one kid who's like the kid that I couldn't stand. Like I literally kicked about 9 practices in a row just for like interrupting, correcting me, bothering people. Just every practice, you're out. I don't have time. I drive an hour and a half. I don't get paid much for this. If anything, out. So I call his mom. I go, I'll call him Steve. Has Steve told you about practice, how it's going? Yeah, he loves wrestling. Has he been told you got the kick out of everyone? No, that's news to me. And then she's like, sorry, but like, you know, I think that's what wrestling's when his medication runs off. I'm like, okay. Meanwhile, this kid won the whole tournament. This kid actually won the whole thing. Dude, he was up by 5 points in a match, right? I go, you're up by 5. He goes, that means I can stall, right? I go,
oh, God.
Can't yell that out during a fuck, dude. It really is.
Do you ever wish you could just? Now this might be too sore subject. But you ever wish you could just like do, like let's say someone gave you like $100,000.
Yeah.
Would you do a reboot of Pinned? Like
Of course. I mean, the thing was is that people don't know. I mean, if people notice, what happened with Pinned is I wrote it as a feature, a really funny feature. I tried to raise $500,000 to shoot it based on everyone told me. I raised $11,000, right? But I raised like people gave me 10, 50. Then I got people going, where's my money? You stole my money. Like anytime I would go any place, like a gig in Hawaii, oh, is this where my pin went? Like finally I'm offering this. I'm like, dude, I'll give you back your $10. No, I want you to make fucking. So now I'm like, all right, what do I do? Like, so then I had to hire a writer to cut it. So now I'm down to like $8,000. I had to hire another guy to shoot it. Like, so I shot a 30-minute pilot for $6,000, which I don't think people know that that's not a lot of money to shoot a whole pilot. And I paid every actor. I paid every production. The only person that didn't get paid was me. Like on any of my projects, I'm the only one who never gets paid on these things. Right. So, but then when that happened, I had to like, there was supposed to be this huge match at the end and all this funny shit happened. But literally, we can't get 150 extras into a gym and then shoot a fucking wrestling. So we had to like do that. That had to be like, okay, we had a match. We lost the match. You didn't see the match because we just cut the whole fucking match. And it was like just the locker room scene or the other scene, which was like supposed to be what really happened was I had my fourth callback for the Montreal Comedy Festival. I had a killer set on Tuesday. Then they're like, hey, they want to see you on Wednesday. They saw me on Tuesday. They want to see you at the Improv Wednesday. I go to the Improv. I'm on first. All right. No, I'm on second, right? But the first guy doesn't show up. I'm like, great, now I'm on first, right? And the host does literally 30 seconds to warm up the crowd. It was one of those hosts that like, I'm just going to do 30 seconds, let the first guy eat it, and then I'm going to do my time after the first guy.
Oh, God, I hate that.
So then the crowd was like 30 old ladies that were bussed in from Reno, right? So I'm on stage and I go, hey, look, I like older women because during sex, I could be like, who's your grandson? That was a joke I did. I thought that'd be funny, not even part of my act. And a lady took a fucking menu that was this like hard and tossed it on my head and hit me point blank in the head. And then my head just kept getting swoller and swoller. And I'm
wow,
like,
good aim.
I'm like, for Brady. Like Nolan Ryan's grandmother or something. Right? So then I wanted to go back to my material, but I'm like, well, so anyway, that was what happened. And that's what I wrote. But that would have taken up the whole $6,000 to fucking slow motion. So it went to like me going, oh, making a joke and have everyone boo me. But that's not really what happens at comedy clubs. So it's like little things like that, that like,
yeah,
the rewrite for. And I'm like, it kind of took you out of the realism of how shit really went down. You know, there was.
Yeah.
But on the whole, for the money you spent, dude, it looks pretty freaking good.
Yeah.
And the point came across as like what it is. It sold the point. You know what I mean? Like to me, if I see that and I'm a producer, it sold the point of like, this could be great. You know, that like, and you
great
can see
idea. Anyone out there got money?
No, now it's just basically about getting it out. Like, I don't have representation as far as I got, like, I don't have anybody like to go out and pitch it with. So everyone's like, I can't believe you haven't sold this yet. Well, I haven't had any fucking meetings. That's the good thing. I had like one meeting with Netflix. Netflix said no, but I haven't met with Hulu or Amazon Prime or, you know, Peacock or so. The good news, I had a great meeting last week with a company that loves it, absolutely loves it. But they're like, where has this been? And I'm like, nowhere. So hopefully, you know, they have a lot of contacts. So we'll see. But like, the thing is that you need about 30 of those people. For like one of them to actually, you know, people think it's just like, oh, fucking go out and sell it. Like, oh yeah, because I'll just talk to the guy who sold me Netflix. I'll just call up Netflix and be like,
yeah,
hey.
Yeah.
But like, what I did was I wrote down like 50 people that I know, 50 of the most popular people that I know, and just go through the list.
And did I make that list?
What happens is I get discouraged. People like, they're like, oh, say, yeah, hey, Adam, I don't have time for this, you know? And then you're like, fuck this. I'm just trying to tell jokes. So I have to, in my head, not get discouraged. You know, that's.
Yeah. You could also sell it as like, you could just sell it as something to develop too. Like, this is a concept.
Oh, no, 100%. I'm not trying to sell that as the pilot.
Yeah.
I'm trying to sell it as a concept. That's what
it's
I'm
such doing. A great idea. I don't know why it hasn't been done before.
Well, we got one more now. So I got the guy I made the contact with on that thing I was telling you about. He's looking for more stuff. And I told him I have friends, so we want to get it to him too. Because it is, it's a great idea. And if you sell it as the idea, I think.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah. I mean, that's what you have to do. Now I'm trying to find out where Bryce Meredith is. Patrick Downey had the wrong time, of course. This dude, so Patrick Downey, he's a guy, he's been, we had him on the show before. He's like the bad boy of wrestling. He got.
I wanted to talk to him because I know he has like a little bit of a weird thing with Gordon Ryan. I just wanted to see what that's about.
He also got cut from Bellator. He had
he
had two fights. First fight, he just mauls the guy, goes out there and kills him. Second fight, he's winning. Because he was a 25-1 favorite, going for anaconda chokes, going for all this stuff, completely gassed himself out and got knocked out with an uppercut and then got cut from Bellator.
Why would he get cut that quickly?
That's what I want to talk to him about because it doesn't make any sense.
What are their contracts like? They go fight to fight or do they contract for a year? Do you know what their contracts go?
It depends on the fighter. A lot of times they go three-fight contract, but if you lose, they have the right to get you out. But if you win, you can't get out of the contract a lot of times. So, basically the UFC told me that they never cut anyone after a win. But it doesn't mean they haven't let anybody walk after a win. Like Ngannou or certain guys have just like left after a win.
Oh, they really haven't cut anyone after a win to this day?
That's what Sean Shelby told me. They've never cut anyone after a win.
Are their contracts the same, 2 and 3 fights?
No, they're all different. I mean, O'Malley just signed a 9-fight contract. But that doesn't mean he could lose 9 fights. If he loses one, they might cut him. You know, there's.
I know that's such a bullshit contract.
God, yeah.
Really.
Yeah, it's it is. It is crazy.
That's what I tell people with like agents and managers. This is different, but if you sign with a manager, you know, sometimes you sign with a 3-year contract for a talent manager, and they're like, "Oh, I'm pinned." I'm like, "But you realize a talent manager can fire you after a week, if you, but you can't fire them, but they can fire you after a week.
You could do it after a month. I think it is a month, or I think it's a month if they haven't gotten you anything. There's a stipulation on there, agent or talent manager.
I think it's like 3 months. Yeah.
Is it 3? Yeah. Something like that.
But I also tell people like, just, yeah, I mean, it's a different thing, but at the same time, like it's just crazy that they can do anything they want, but you have to honor the contract.
Yeah, of course. What's up, people? I got to talk to you about HelloFresh. First of all, what is HelloFresh? With HelloFresh, you get fresh farmed, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. You got to skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. And that's why it's America's number one meal kit. Number one, all right? You can make mealtime easy with delicious recipes made with fresh, wholesome ingredients delivered to your door. No lines, no hassle, no gas, all that other stuff that you have to get there. No, just great tasting meals you can whip up and enjoy in the comfort of home. Sounds good to me. HelloFresh has 40 weekly recipes to choose from for all meal occasions, lifestyles, and preferences, okay? Take your pick from meals like soy-glazed salmon with rice or mushroom and chive risotto. That sounds delicious. I'm in. Now, me and my wife, we've been doing home-cooked HelloFresh, and it has been delicious. Delicious, okay? It saves us time. It saves us money. We're in. So just go to HelloFresh.com/Roasted60. Use the code Roasted60 for 60% off plus free shipping, okay? HelloFresh.com/Roasted60, all right? HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. Go check it out. What's up, people? I want you guys to know that BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season. Everything from pro and college basketball, UFC, MMA, NHL, and more. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. They got live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet on your favorite leagues and events. So, people, head to their website today. Or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. That's right, CLNS50. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. Highly recommend. Yeah. I had a talent, my first talent manager in LA. He would like, he was like, "Hey man, Gersh wants to see you. The whole company wants to see you. They all want it. They saw your tape. They're going crazy." And the Gersh was like a huge agency. I'm like, "Okay,
yeah.
I want to see you tomorrow night at the Westwood Brewing Company," which was like this fucking little hole in the wall that I created, a bunch of college. Yeah. And I was like, "Okay, Tuesday night, it's the Friends finale. And this is before DVR." And I was like, "No." I'm like, no, they can't. They have to. I'm like, "Trust me, this, you don't, dude." Cut to, there's nobody there except for like two comedians and Nick Swartzen, right? Two guys that have like seen me like
two comedians and Nick Swartzen.
And nine agents against a wall in suits, mad. They're not watching.
Oh my God.
Dude, I walked around UCLA the whole day trying to get people to come. They're like, "No, Friends finale, friend. It's the most watched show." I don't think there's ever been a more watched show. Like, that's the most, to this day, fuck it, it's the most watched show. Dude. I bombed so fucking bad. I was, and then at the end, he goes, "What happened? Like, what happened?" Right? And like, I should have just addressed it. But then then there was a show at 10 o'clock at the same place that was packed, like wall to wall with college kids. And I went on and killed it. But they were all gone at that point. But I did have a threesome with two college girls that night that were legal. So,
well, that made up for it, right?
Oh yeah.
I did think that this was God's way to tell me, "Don't quit," because you're not having a threesome as a plumber.
We'll give you one manager. We'll give you two girls.
So, right. So we got Bryce Meredith here, who is one of my favorite people, one of my favorite wrestlers, one of the nice fucking guy, 3-0, just signed with Bellator. Congratulations, Bryce.
Hold on. Now I think I'm starting to be able to hear you.
People take this very seriously. Bryce, okay, maybe your cauliflower ear is terrible. I'm not sure this is going to help. There's like 9 layers in your ear. I think you have to drain your ear before the podcast.
I know.
So
that's my it's my go-to. My girl's trying to talk to me. Huh? What? Can't hear you.
By the way, Bill, his girl, I don't know, is it the same girl that I met?
Yes.
Okay, so she's a fitness model. Complete smoke show. I mean, and she liked him when he was broke, which he's probably still broke, but like she liked him when he was like, when he was not even, when he was 0-0. So
but look at him. He looks like a Versace model who can kick your ass. Come on.
Dude. This,
yeah.
This
guy. Yeah. What is there not to like, Adam? What the hell are you talking about? I'm 5'8. I weigh 150 pounds. I'm like the size of an average woman. Like, come on.
Congrats on your recent,
silly.
Your recent signing with Bellator. Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
Now, why Bellator and not the UFC?
So, all right, pretty much like the UFC, everybody knows that when the machine is working and it's behind you, it's the most incredible machine, right? And it works well. But most people, it doesn't really do shit for. I have 10 teammates, and I bet if I go ask my friends, hey, you know this guy? Most of them would be like, no, I've never heard of that guy. Behind Sean O'Malley and now maybe Jared Cannonier. And, you know, Jared wasn't even known until he fought for the belt. So, you know, there's a lot of parts of the UFC that it doesn't really work as well as everybody thinks. The contracts aren't as good. They don't really build up fighters very often. Half the time you're fighting in the apex anyways, too. So it's not like, you know what I mean? Every single event is a sold-out T-Mobile situation. Not saying that's not bad, but with Bellator, they took it upon themselves to want to develop me and continue to develop me. You know what I mean? They seem to care about building me and taking care of me. And, you know, I'm still only 3-0. I'm pretty much stoked. Yeah, I'm stoked to be working with them. They've been great thus far, you know.
What other promotions were you looking at? Were you looking at one or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, like one is obviously out there, but it's a foreign one, right? So I don't overly care to go fight in Asia every single time. That didn't really appeal to me. The PFL, it was a good one that a lot of people have talked about too, but they haven't had a 135-pound bracket yet. So that kind of changes, you know what I mean, what needs to be done there. I think they're supposedly getting a 135-pound bracket for $1 million, but also Bellator, you know, they're doing $1 million tournaments now too. So you know, give me, I don't know, a couple fights and I guarantee I think I could be in the top 8 in Bellator before, you know, a year and a half. They do a 135-pound bracket there too. And then we fight for a milli and then you just keep building and then you see where the world takes you.
Now your last fight, you went in there and the guy, did he hit you with a spinning back fist? Cause the commentator said you were hurt, but
So we came out, I threw kind of like a head kick, missed it. And then he threw a body kick. And right when I blocked the body kick and then I went to go like return my throw on him and he just spun and hit me with a spinning back fist. And it like kind of dropped me. Like it wasn't like a bad drop, you know, but I did get kind of stumbled to the ground. And then I got up and it knocked my contact out and everything. So I was like, what the hell just hit?
You fight with your contact?
I didn't really know what I got hit with. Yeah, I do fight with contacts. A lot of people don't, but I hate not having them in. So like, I just like stood up. I got up, you know what I mean? Like seconds later. And I was like, what the hell just happened? I was like, it kind of confused me. But then I just took him down and choked him out. But it was
his MMA career has been crazy. His first fight, he comes in. He gets rocked. The guy fucking drops him. Everyone's like, holy shit. And then the guy was like 10-4. The guy had like a record. And then he goes out and just beats the shit out of him. Like first round submission. But everyone's like, ooh, his second fight, he's a 500-1 favorite. 500-1. The guy is 48 years old. The guy he's fighting. Like, and they stopped the fight at the end because Bryce was just throwing everything, like knees, punches, kicks. But is it hard to fight when you're a 500-1? Because it's like, what's the upside there?
Yeah. I just haven't. I haven't been like overly excited going into a fight because of that. You know, like, it's still always scary to go into a fight, right? Like, everybody has a chance or whatever, but you know, deep down, they don't have much of a chance. So you're just not that excited. You know, you're kind of just doing it for experience is kind of what it's like, but it feels kind of weird. And then after I've won, I haven't really cared. So I'm excited to actually start getting into some fights where I actually care about, because I just win the fight and I'm like, well, yeah, like, I was supposed to win that fight. Like, what the? So I haven't gotten like the super, I haven't gotten a high yet from fighting, which is crazy. You know, like, everybody talks about this high that they get, this high, boom, boom. And I mean, of course I get the adrenaline rush in practice. I get this. I still enjoy the fighting, and I've had it in a street fight or someone say, like, so I know what they're talking about, but I've never been like, oh, I just won this fight and just been, you know,
yeah.
Ecstatic. So I'm excited to get going, but it's hard, right? Because like, I don't think most people are on my level until the top 15. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of people that I'm, I don't know. Like, they're good. I'm impressed by a lot of people, but I'm also, I know where I stand with a lot of the best dudes in the world. I train with the best dudes in the world. So I know where I'm at.
Now, how does sparring with you and O'Malley go? Because O'Malley's striking is like out of a video game, and your wrestling, yeah, and your wrestling is world-class. So how does that go?
Sparring is always kind of weird, right? Because you're not doing the full thing, right? Like, he's not throwing spinning back heel kicks to my face as hard as he can, right? So it's like, there's parts of it that the danger's out of it a little bit, you know? So, you know, I can wrestle him up. He can get up. He does. He's stronger than people think he is. I mean, he's the number one contender in the world. Nobody's just went out and wrestled him. So everybody acts like, oh, all you got to do is just go wrestle Sean O'Malley and you beat him. It's like, yeah, well, nobody's done it. So, what, you know what I mean? But it's fun, man. I love training with him. We were training on Wednesday. Saw him today, you know. And that's what I mean. Like, I know where I stand with these guys without saying too much, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you're unbelievable. Now, I was reading up about you again because, you forget about how you were a four-time – this kid was a four-time Wyoming state champion, which had never been done, right?
No, it's been done. That part don't matter.
Okay. Then he goes to North Carolina, right? You were the number one recruit in the country, or one of them. You go to NC State, but the guy doesn't start you in the NCAAs. Why?
No, so the story gets all twisted. I did start my freshman year, but I was a true freshman, and I was cutting to 33 because that's what I thought the weight class I needed to be at. So when I cut to 33, I did pretty – I mean, I was like 11-2 as a true freshman at one point. Ended up 14-5. It was like just kind of whatever. Like, it was pretty good, but I was a huge letdown. And then the next year is when I made it to the national finals. So I got second in nationals and then fourth, and then I was the number one wrestler in the country my senior year, and then got second again. Got beat at the last 20 seconds too. Yanni Diakomihalis, who's now a three-time national champ, going for four, you know, he'll go down as one of the better wrestlers ever. So,
was he the toughest guy you ever wrestled? Was he the toughest guy you ever wrestled, or Dean Howe?
Yeah, I would say him. Jordan Oliver is pretty good too. He says he's going to start fighting now, which is pretty cool. He was the Olympian for 2022, whatever you want to call it. He was a national champ, four-time All-American. But I mean, you know, I kind of talk about this, or like me and Bo Nickel were talking about it and stuff. There's literally like three or four dudes in the entire world of MMA that have higher wrestling accolades than me. So just that is pretty cool. You know, like me and, I don't know, I've heard it, like me and DC had the same accolades in college wrestling.
Right. So were you getting recruited for UFC or MMA when you were in high school, as early as high school or in college? At what time?
Nah, just college. I don't know if it was quite big enough. I mean, everybody kind of talked about it when I was in high school, but it was still a little bit, you know, of the old school game where it was. But nowadays, people are really, like, really talking about it. High school kids are really talking about doing it. We always said this. Like, I feel like a lot of us said we were going to do it, but it was just kind of like a far off, distant dream.
Yeah.
And it almost only made sense to do later in your career, which I still believe doing college wrestling is one of the greatest things you can do as a fighter. Just the grind of it, the toughness of it, the whatever. So, you know, when people ask me that, they're like, do you think I should go to college to wrestle or do you think I should go straight fighting? I'm like, probably, I think you should still do college. I mean, you're still, you get done at 22 years old. It's not that bad, you know, like.
Yeah, what's the peak age for a MMA fighter, would you say? 30?
I would say 30-ish would. But it's so hard to say, too, because, I mean, with fighting, you know, how long are you really going to be at the top anyways, right? Some people have been there for a long time, but most aren't. So you really only got to give yourself a window for, let's say, be at the top for 3-4 years. You know, that's a realistic one. And if you do that from 26 to 31, you know, like a Cody Garbrandt or somebody. Sometimes when people peak so low or so soon, it kind of seems like their career goes away a little bit quickly too. So it's hard to say. I mean, I think it's just like anything. It's, you know, whenever, I would say 30 though.
Well, what I like about MMA,
especially at our weight, 35, it takes a long time to be good at everything. At the upper weights, people don't have to be quite as skilled. They can be tougher. They can be this. They can, you know what I mean, have a good wrestling background and stuff. At the lower weights, everybody's pretty skilled at every little thing.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, every amateur fight you even go to at 135, like, the kid probably was a state placer in wrestling. He probably is a brown belt. And, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of – it's crazy to look at it, how good even, like, the amateur scene can be. You know, there's still a lot of shit fighters in this world, but.
Well, what I like about your thing is that you're actually inventing moves. Like he did a move where he had a chicken wing, and then he punched the guy with his other hand, which almost I've never seen a chicken wing. It's like a Big Brother move. Is that something that you developed in practice, or?
Yeah, and dude, I've developed a couple of moves like just recently too. Because I mean. You know, I've only been fighting for 2 years, so it was like, and those fights were like, I was 8 months into my career, you know what I mean? So I had no clue what I was even doing, it seemed like. So now I've kind of like incorporated some pretty cool little wrestling techniques into some cool wrestling moves and put them in where, you know, you can do damage as well. So I'm pretty stoked about it. Of course, it's, you know, a fight's so chaotic that like, are you going to be able to work all these fancy moves that you're doing in practice all the time? Probably not, but when you do, it's going to be sick.
Do you train with Bo Nichols at all? You said you brought his name up. Do you train with him at all?
Yes. Yeah, per se, just because he's so big. But me and Bo have been best friends since we were 7 years old, actually.
Oh, whoa.
He was from Wyoming. He was from Wyoming originally. We knew each other then. We've been really good family friends, you know. I was in his wedding. He'll be in my wedding. That type of stuff. So.
Now, is he as confident as he is, or is he putting it on?
It is true confidence. It is. It's and it's always been that way too. Even when I would talk to him about wrestling David Taylor or whatever, when he first got to like college, he'd be like, "Dude, he's like, I'll beat him. He's like, I'll beat him. I'm better than him." And then I'm like, "Yeah, but are you really?" Like, yeah. He's like, "No, I'm serious. I'm better than him." And then, you know, he goes out and he loses the two matches at the Olympic Trials, close matches or whatever. But it's like in his head, he still believes that he's like, it's not a delusional confidence because obviously he works hard and he backs it up. But that dude, he believes it for sure. And, you know, also you got to say that stuff on the camera more than not, too. But like I said, he does believe it.
Now, Bryce, maybe you can help us out because me and Aldo coach wrestling. Aldo helps with the high school kids. And we have one kid who's solid. The kid's quick as hell. The kid goes to every practice, works his ass off, just is a great kid to coach. But he gets in his head, oh, this guy's the fifth seed, or this guy took this in the state, or this guy this. Now, your sophomore year, you were the 14th seed. You beat the second, third, and sixth seed in the NCAA as the 14th seed. So how do we get this kid to not give a shit about the brackets and all this stuff?
And forget about who's best.
I mean, obviously, that's the million-dollar question, right? To figure out how to get people to perform in competition because there's so many people that are so skilled, so good at XYZ, they can't figure it out in competition. I think there's a couple things about it, right? One, I think sometimes people need a little bit more cowboy in them and a little bit less Sharon. And I mean that athletes are really good at doing everything, right? I do that. I go to all my practice. I do this. So everything in their head is, it's almost like a, it's like a game. It's like a number. It's this, it's a that. And sometimes you got to be a little more John Jonesy, right? And not saying to go do stripper or, you know, go do blow the week before. But you do have to have a little bit of that in you where it's like, I don't give a fuck. You know, like, I, it doesn't matter if I didn't sleep good last night. It doesn't matter if I did this. It doesn't matter. I don't give a fuck at all. And when you do that, like, when you get a little more outlaw in you, a little bit more of this, it really helps a lot. And I think one of the ways that you can try to explain this to people and stuff, but what I always tell myself is, like, people aren't as good as you think they are. Like, that is true. People are better than you want to give them credit. That is true. So both sides of that coin are true. So you got to understand that there is both sides of that. And then you got to understand that you as well are both sides of that coin. You are better than you think. That is true. And you're not as tough as you think. So you better go work harder. Does that make sense?
No, it makes total sense. I mean, for me personally, I was like the fourth seed in the Northern New England. And I just said, fuck it. I got pissed off. I said, I'm done doing the right stuff. I'm just going to kill these motherfuckers. And I did. And then I won the New England's and as a junior year as a number one because I had the same attitude. But how do I get, because I tell kids, you guys got to like be the bad guy. Go out there. Just, but it's hard to get them to do it.
It is hard. No. And I wish I could give you more, but it is the toughest thing. It's the thing that I've tried to figure out my entire life as well, trying to help people. Because I've had teammates that are badasses, so good. I beat them by a point maybe in the practice room, and they have like a 500 record. I'm like, what is going on, right?
So in the practice room, do you think that becomes an issue? Like the kid that Adam's talking about, he's good in the practice room too, but he likes to stick with what he knows. He won't venture to new stuff as much, and he kind of stays away from it.
Yeah, I think fear of failure is way too big in people's head. It's not that big of a deal. It's a freaking wrestling match. It's a fight. It's okay. People lose all the time, right? The fear of failure crumbles people. And then also, you got to be free out there. You got to have a sense of freedom. You know what I mean? Like, and a lot of times people, when they're in the practice room, they don't ever open up that freedom avenue, whatever you want to call it. And so then they just get stuck being the exact same thing forever. And then they go in a match and they hit the one thing that they know that they're good at. And then the guy stops it and they crumble because they have no freedom. They have no, they're not the artist anymore. They're just they're the freaking slave worker almost is kind of how I look at it. Right. You become a slave to what you're good at. We all do. You become a slave to your job because it pays the bills. You know, it's the golden handcuffs to this. Same way in sports, you become a slave to what you're good at and you lose the artist and you got to have both. Because if you're too much of an artist, then you're too much in la-la land, I think, right? Especially in combat sports. You can't just be
You lost to Dean Hale twice as a freshman, I think as a sophomore. But then as a senior, you beat him. Or as a junior, you beat him. What do you think? What you think? Did you outwork him? You just know what he was going to do? Did you work harder? What do you think it was that got you to beat him?
I mean, I kind of broke him. I think that's kind of, you know, that was one of the parts of him. I think I finally took him to a deeper water than he wanted to go to, because he was always really good at slowing the match down and making it his pace because his solid defense, whatever. And for me, I always felt like if I put people in a match that they didn't want to be in, right? People want things to be good, clean, cookie cutter, this, that, the other thing. If I put them in a match that they don't want to be in, I will most likely win that battle because they are not ready to go swimming in that pond. That's kind of how I always looked at it because, especially at that level, you know, it's super hard to do like a brand new technique that's going to work on that guy or whatever. You know what I mean? Like you're kind of pigeonholed into, I'm going to hand fight and I'm going to try to get to a single leg or whatever the hell we're doing. And I think that's kind of what I figured out is I realized that when you put people in positions and you put them in deep waters in real wrestling matches, they don't like it. They panic. They're afraid of losing. They're afraid of getting tired and messing up. They're afraid of this. And I think I would beat wrestlers that were better wrestlers than me. Like, I think deep down, if you put us all down into a category, they were better wrestlers than me. But I beat them because I put them in a match they didn't want to be in. I put them in positions they didn't want to be in. And it's funny, like, I felt like I could almost feel people, like, within 2 minutes, I could feel that they were like, fuck, I don't want to be in this match anymore. This isn't quite what I wanted. It's a little bit more chaotic. The pressure is a little bit more surprising than I thought. Stuff like that, you know, just trying to surprise people. And that's like I said, it's such a hard question because I don't know how this kid works. You know what I mean? I would almost have to be around him to, because you got to kind of massage different things. You know, is he somebody that you got to kind of.
And how did you get people in that uncomfortable position? Would you say from doing stuff that most people weren't doing?
Yeah, and not like too much. That's what I mean. Like, it wasn't like I was doing the most wild shit or whatever. But I mean, if you go like watch most of my matches, within the first 10 seconds, I at least hit a 75% shot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Ref shakes a hand. Boom. I smacked the shit out of the guy. Sometimes the ref would even stop it because I would smack him hard. You know, kind of like the Mike Tyson. Everybody's got to plan until they get punched in the face. Now I get a reaction from them. Are they kind of cowering down or are they fucking fired up? And then I could read those two things. And then I would hit them hard. Boom, move, shot fake. I would hit a shot, even though whatever. I would try to create a quick scramble or something. Because a lot of times, especially in wrestling, it's a game. I touch you, you touch me. I snap, you snap. I circle, you circle. You hit a shot fake, I hit a shot. And then 30 seconds goes by. Now somebody takes a shot, right? It's just like everything. Like, there's like these weird, rules that everybody plays by that we just naturally start doing. And I think that's kind of what a lot of people do. So sometimes I would just try to surprise that and throw it, you know what I mean? Do something slightly different than
your chicken wing or arm bar to the same side was like a thing. I've never seen it that way. The way you did it.
Yeah. Thanks.
I still have no idea how you did it.
Arms.
Bill,
I'll show you someday.
I know. I got to see this video because I think so. You're basically doing a Kimura, right?
And no, he's on top.
No. Like a chicken wing. Like, you know what I mean? Like a chicken wing and a half is what I was always running. And then, so you can obviously run your half side. You can run your bar side, in which I would be doing most of the time. But then I would pretty much like be on the same side as the bar, but I'd run my half, but I would run it straight over the top. And it's like, really fucking painful, dude. Like, it's just like a really mean move. And
Yeah.
Did you make that move up? Is that your move? Did you make that? Would someone teach you that move?
No, I mean, other people kind of do it, but I just think I did it more violently.
Spencer Lee's got a version.
Logan Stever was, I feel like, you know, Logan Stever, Spencer Lee, those two were like amazing at that position, right? And then I was pretty damn good too, but.
But you never grabbed the hand though, right? You would go with it, but you never grabbed the hand underneath.
Yeah, I was never good at that. Whatever it's called.
Or you grab the hand under.
Like a reinforced bar tilt. It's funny. I actually talked about that with one of my teammates today. I was like, man, I really wish I got better at that one because you can get like 8 to 12 points so easily.
Yeah, so much.
When I run the arm bar, it's either like a pin. Or, you know what I mean? Or the ref's going to stop it because he didn't like how the way the shoulder was going. And it was like a lot of work. That reinforced one, Spencer Lee makes it look so freaking easy, dude.
I know. I think he's got to have long ass arms to do that because I feel like it's even hard to teach kids.
It is. Make sure you. What's up, Pat Downey, you stupid mother.
Yo, I was trying to figure this out. Like, I'm looking at Bryce Meredith. What's going on?
What's up, dog?
Yeah, I'm just like out working. How you doing, buddy? You got a fight coming up.
I know. I'm going to my second practice right now, actually.
So Bryce, when you're going to second practice, when is this fight and when can we watch it?
March 31st. It's Bellator 293, I believe. It's in Temecula, California. I'll probably be one of the first fights, so get on there early. It'll be done in about a round, so don't worry too much.
So you can stay on for Pat Downey. You can leave. You have to go. But we have Pat Downey, the bad boy of wrestling. One of the craziest, most fun person to follow on Instagram.
We lived together for a year. I don't know if you
guys
know.
My roommate. What?
Oh my god.
How money, boy. Let's go.
How much destruction did you guys do to this house?
Oh. You know, it had a better life before we got there.
We
fucked shit up and left.
Where did you guys live together? Where?
New Jersey.
Oh my god. Oh,
nice.
In the dirty bird.
And then we had homeless Boris Novoshkov living on our couch for a while too, and he's a monkey, so
yeah, Boris is sleeping in the rafters.
But why were you guys living together? Like
we were training for the Olympics, NJRTC and stuff.
Because that's my partner.
Got it. But you seem so normal and like reserved. And this guy just seems like he's like
we had Brucky in there too, mediating everything. Like it was perfect. It all balanced out.
It was great. Know? Yeah.
He's like an Adderall spokesman or something. So now Patrick Downey, you recently left Bellator. Why did you leave Bellator? What happened?
Well, I mean, they put me away. They told me to go. They said I had to get out of it.
Why? I mean, one fight you lost. Who cares? I mean, one fight.
I think it was more of I haven't really gotten good answer from anybody, but my manager, Dave, told me about it like 2 or 3 days after, and then I guess the news broke a couple months after, so now everybody's asking me about it, and I still ain't gotten any more clarity than the original first 2 days. It's just the way it was explained to me is the way I lost, and I guess the amount of money I'm getting paid, I can't show up and put on that performance, and then I have all these injuries afterwards that are getting attended to, and that's a whole other thing. So they figured out that I showed up just to collect a check, I guess, because I didn't show up prepared, in shape, and healthy, and all these things you got to do to be fucking putting on a good performance. You know, I wasn't ready.
Were you in shape and healthy?
Hell no. I fucking broke my rib in my first fight, tore my meniscus, but I got to go fight. I was like, I go fight, and then I'll get my shit fixed. Because I have no insurance, but still, it's like not an excuse, right? Like I still believe I was going to win. You know, I showed up to compete. Like I've competed. Who doesn't fight a little banged up? Or in wrestling, in my case, it's been the story of my career.
Now you were looking good in the fight. In the fight, you had a great anaconda. It was like a Doris you went for. You got the takedown. Then it looked like you were tired. Was it just a gas situation?
Yeah, I mean, I did. There were some technical issues with that choke that should have allowed me to finish him early. And then when he was able to defend and kind of hit his technique to gator roll out, like use the fence well, there were some tactics in there that I could have definitely, you know, when I do get back to training and I'm healthy, I'm going to improve there. I got really good grappling guys down. But, I mean, you hit the nail on the head, got out and shit. After he got out, I was kind of shy. And then he hit a nice front leg kick. And I just not having any cardio behind me with, you know, I fractured my rib and I just haven't been able to train consistently. Every time I try to grapple for this camp, it would just set me back. And I was doing cardio. Like, I'm just doing civilian shit, you know, strength and conditioning, walking, running. I haven't been able to strike or grapple in a while. So that's tough. I guess it's being 30 years old.
I'm not, so you think you couldn't you couldn't squeeze because of the rib? Because if you squeeze, you're gonna fuck up your own rib.
No, yeah, it wasn't that. That was technical issue. I finished that a lot. I don't think that was where it starts, but it's mainly once your heart rate rises and the you know, kind of doing something that I didn't expect, like escaping there, and now I'm like, oh shit, we're back on our feet. I'm getting hit with shots. I've never had a shit in the shin contact before. That was new. So there's a lot of new shit happening in there. And I'm like, boom, adrenaline dumping. You know, it's like 0 to 100 now. It's not in slow motion and relaxed anymore. So there's shit that happened in there that when, that you're in that fight or flight mode, you really do feel. Like, I mean, my parents would tell you, I couldn't even walk between my right knee and my left shin and my rib. You know, I couldn't fucking smoke my blunt in peace. I can't laugh, sneeze. I'm fucked up.
Okay, so why take this fight? I mean, if you're not training, you're not sparring, you're not rolling, you're just lifting like a you know, girl at curves or whatever. But why would you do this?
I spoke to
I'm good. I still think I'm gonna win. Like, I still fight right now. I'm all fucked up. I mean, I'm not. I don't know how to not compete. Like, and I needed the money. I had to move. It's expensive as shit, South Florida, man. Tours ain't cheap. This shit costs money, dog. What you mean? I got a nice dog. I don't like eating ramen noodle. I like salmon and sushi. Like, I gotta get paid.
So, who were you training over at ATT?
Nah, I was just like doing my own shit with Pena and some other centers down here, Miami. Right. I was at Killcliffe with Greg and all them guys, and then he told me to stay out of Miami, and then I go up and end up moving there, so that kind of made it hard to get on.
Okay, let's go back a little bit. You're at Killcliffe, which is a great gym. That's where Michael Chandler and all these guys train. And they kicked you out? Why?
No, I didn't get kicked out. I'm still in good standings there. But after the Olympic trials and stuff, I took a little break and I just ended up moving from Deerfield. And Miami kind of got the best of me. I just didn't feel like I fit in with guys that are doing all the right things at a certain level. I was like, let me go do my own thing here.
Because, well, the guys over there, I asked them about you. They said you were so helpful. You helped all the guys train. You were showing them wrestling moves. You were a great teammate.
I want to go back. I miss it there. I just kind of put myself away because I'm a fucking nutcase, and I just felt like going to down my – I just, like, I love it there. I got so much better, the best training partners I could ask for. That's where I need to be if I want to take this shit seriously. You know what I mean? I know that. My manager knows that. And the probably the same guys you've talked to at the gym – I don't know which ones, but yeah, I mean, I love all. I've never met a bad teammate there, and they're very helpful. It was very quid pro quo, you know. It was like mutual. I'm showing them wrestling, they're showing me striking. I got bodies to train with, and I did my whole camp for the Olympic trials there. I mean, it's not easy.
Who'd you draw first? Who'd you draw first round Olympic trials?
Who did I draw? Fucking Aaron Brooks, no, second. I had to buy Bo beat Starachi. I had Nickel first round.
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
Yeah, that's and then the winner got – and then Zahid ended up beating me.
Is Zahid that strong? He doesn't look – how strong is he?
He's wiry, and he is strong in positions. We're actually we have crazy matches in practice. He waxed me in that second period there, and he's just slick, man. He's just fucking quick. He's slick. Yeah, he's good. You know, it's not strength. I mean, he's quick as shit. He's a great athlete, but he's got a lot of good skills. He had Mark Perry in his coach. He was coaching me at Iowa. So he had a really good tactics. I didn't get my hands on him. He wrestled his style and matched it.
Who's the toughest guy you've wrestled?
Oh, David fucking Baldy, fucking TRTHGH boy out there with the training lap. He's off the park. I don't know what they're on. I don't know the acronyms or the you know, the for his shit, but that dude's motherfucking gas tank is unreal. I mean, second period, like, I'm about to have a heart attack. There's 2 minutes left in the match.
We're talking about David Taylor, by the way. David Taylor, you can call him David. David Taylor.
Magic Man. He's fucking truth.
The guy that recruited you for was it Kenny Monday?
Coach Monday recruited me. Where's it? When did this happen? What are you asking for?
Who recruited you? The legendary. Who am I thinking about? Who you wrestled for
in my career? Like Bobby, very influential. Wade Chalice out of high school, and Bobby Douglas, like the OGs, and Kyvan Gadsden's dad, rest in peace, Willie Gadsden. They had a lot of influence in getting me out to the Olympic Training Center, and then from there, Burroughs got me into Nebraska with Coach Manning, and I mean, I've had great coaches, you know. I mean, I've had great coaches.
Wade Chalice is so unpredictable. Did he teach you a lot of? He was scrambling before scrambling was in. Dude,
my whole fucking concept of like bottom wrestling and stuff, like against all the rules, like I stand up without hand control. Wade said the first thing he ever says, he goes, "You know, the best time to hit a throw is from bottom. You got nothing to lose. You're back. You can't give up a takedown." I was like, "Fucking brilliant!" Sink. While I'm on bottom.
Yeah, but wouldn't you possibly go to your back?
I mean, if you suck.
Dude, he was at the trials I was at, 84. He was a nutcase, man. He was throwing shit that nobody's ever seen before.
he would go mark the spot and where he was going to pin you and put you right on the table. Wow. I'm out here with my butt. Got a fight coming up in 2 weeks. We're just getting some field work in. I'm finally out of a knee brace, but my rib is still fucked. I haven't trained since my fight.
Dude, by the way, I still think you're going to be a champion in MMA. I know it. I know it. It was one setback. I just think with you, man, you're one of those kids. If you tell you don't touch the stove, you're going to touch the stove. The only time you're not going to touch the stove is after you touch the stove. So
I might have to touch that motherfucker a few times too.
Like in every single element, you got kicked out of your high school for fighting when you were a 3-time Maryland state champion. Then you were a junior college national champion. You were an All-American when you were unseated. Division I All-American.
Oh, weight class. I was fucking an 84-pounder that year. I was wrestling at 84. KJ bumped me up the week of Big 12s. I had a pigtail. I had the one seed first match. I took him out. That big fucking juice head from West Virginia. I can't remember his name. Jake Smith. Yeah. The motherfucker. Huge.
And so then you get kicked out of college for breaking your hand on someone's face in a bar fight. You beat up two guys in like the Navy for some reason.
That was all in high school.
Oh, that was high school.
Yeah, one big hit of felonies. No convictions.
you still broke the record for most yards in a football game in high school. You ran for 520 yards. Some crazy.
Jesus.
420. I threw for 315 and I ran for 105. Everybody was like, that's how you know I smoke. 420 all-purpose yards.
So here you are. You had one setback as a pro, which I still think it must have been like, you're one of these guys. No one's going to knock me out. I can't get knocked out. This fucking chin? No way. And now here you are. You get knocked out.
I wasn't really knocked out, though. Like, I was still there. I was coherent. I could have given a freaking talk afterwards. I was just fucking so, like, I mean, the shots were hurting. Don't get me wrong. He was connecting beautifully. But, I mean, I do feel happy that I didn't get knocked out. And, like, I was like, damn, y'all held up.
It seemed like it was also, like, you were exhausted, too. You were also really tired.
Yeah, I felt fucking catatonic. You know, it's like, it's bad feeling when you're out there because it's not wrestling. When you're out there wrestling, you get a little tired or grappling. You know, you can find positions you're comfortable in. When you can't move and your cardio is failing and you're at, like, anaerobic capacity, and you can't evade these strikes coming your way. You see them coming, but you're just not able, your faculties, you're not able to defend correctly. That's different because you're taking real damage. And, like, I mean, look at me. It's the longest I've been out. I mean, granted, I ribbed debut.
So I'm saying, Patrick, I think you learned your lesson. I know you're going to make a comeback, and I know you're going to be a world champion. I mean, it's all up to you. But I know you. But I know that no one has your accolades in wrestling. Nobody has your heart. And also, you've been down this road before. So
yeah, it's just tough, man. I got to get out of this funk, you know, because you keep doing. You're right. It's a pattern. I appreciate your belief in me, though, because I do believe in me. I know. I agree with you. If I'm healthy and if I'm in shape, you know, I don't believe that there's anybody that can beat me. And
hey, Pat, I have a question that's unrelated. Gordon Ryan. What do you think about Gordon Ryan? I mean, I know you had that whole wrestling and then jiu-jitsu thing with him. Do you think he's as good as everyone says he is? Do you hate the guy? Does he annoy the fuck out of you like he does most people?
Nah, I mean, dude, I actually Gordon's been cool to me. He put me up in his crib to help to train with him. And when he was at Donahue's in the Blue Room over in Manhattan and shit. So like,
yeah,
we're cordial, you know. I mean, I don't fucking. You know, I don't hate.
I've seen you guys go back and forth on Instagram a little bit. That's why.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a big old juice head. I mean, I think he would get slammed on his neck in a street fight. Like, I think the dude's a fucking. You know, he sucks his own dick a little too much, but other than that, he does. He is the fucking truth of grappling. Don't get me wrong. I mean, but he got shit for takedowns, and I don't really think he's that much without all that sauce either. I saw pictures of the kid at like 165, 170, and now he's like 230, 240, just dieseled up. Same with like Nicky Rod. I mean, look at him. Like, you know, yeah. average wrestler. And then, you know, they do this crazy, you know, thing. Like, I've been the same dude since I was like 17, 18, 19. Like, I'm, you know, I'm a man who's done growing, and I haven't done anything to alter me. And I'm 30 years old,
And that's saying something, because these guys are younger than me and they're fucking genetically modifying themselves into freaks. I'm like, dog, you did not look like that a week ago, a year ago. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, what the fuck's going on? I've been training myself my whole life.
Yeah.
It is what it is. I'm not here to hate on anybody or talk shit about them.
I know. How pissed is everyone with you when you made the world team? Because everyone wrote you off. The whole wrestling community said, this guy's done. He's fucking bad news. And you go out and make the world team.
Well, it happened at Iowa. I fucked up with them drug tests there, so I didn't get to wrestle, even though I got into grad school and did all that. When I transferred from Iowa State to Iowa. And I was, like, in tears in front of Tom Brands. My dad came out. We think we're about to get good news to wrestle, and it's the fucking AD telling me I pop for fucking everything. So I'm like, oh, great. What a weekend that was. So, I'm really sad. And then I come back, and Tom Brands said something that resonated. He goes, you know what you do? You come back and get the next best thing. So for me, the next best thing was the U.S. Open. That was me really freaking busting my nut. Like, I was good with that. I was like, oh, fuck this wrestling. I'm a U.S. Open champ. And then I just kept the ball rolling with Reese and them guys at the RTC. And that was really one of the best runs in my life, just because I was just going to sleep and going to practice, you know? I mean, it was fun doing the right things and then getting good results from it. But, man, to your point, it's a lot sweeter when you got all these motherfuckers talking shit and then you come and you're just like, yeah, like you kill them with success. That shit. Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the motivation now, too, like, you know, not that that's needed, but you got all these motherfuckers with an opinion now. Everybody that has the phone, has the internet, they all get entitled opinions. And you got to see them, because you just at Pat Downey and they're going to pop up in my screen. So these motherfuckers are acting like it's the end of the world. And I'm like, bro, just wait till the dog gets a little healthy and in shape. And I just decide to start caring again. And you motherfuckers are going to see. Like, this doesn't mean anything to me. Even the losing of the Bellator contract, you know. I'll go win a few fights and get a new contract. I'm not worried about that shit.
By the way, what did you pop for? Like weed and coke? Or?
Yeah, you know, usual shit. All right. I've never done a PED in my life. You know, if anything, I'm doing PIDs, performance inhibiting drugs. These motherfuckers need steroids to win. I'm like, bro, I'll whip your ass off a bender. Like, I don't get
Now, as far as, are you looking at LFA? Are you looking at PFL? Are you looking at one championship? Because, I mean, you do have a following. People know you. You're popular. Love or hate you, they know you.
Honestly, I haven't looked anywhere. That's for Dave. And he told me when I'm ready, he's got it figured out for me. So he's a great, you know, Bryce is with him. I mean, a lot of best guys who I respect are with him. So, you know, he's got me there. It's a matter of when I'm ready to get back into the gym up there with them guys. And they know I keep in touch with all of them. You know, I mean, like I said, it's no, I quit or he got fired. And that's, I'm talking about that gym, you know, Killcliff's the best fucking gym. And
what about ATT or MMA Masters?
Well, ATT shit didn't really, we weren't seeing eye to eye. That should be fucking Brazilian top team. Anyway, that's another story. But, Masters is good shit, though. I did like it there, but I'm out of Miami. That was a big key in my life after my fight. I was like, I got to get the fuck out of this city. So I'm in Hollywood, and I'm just, like, a lot more reserved. And I banned myself from the Hard Rock Casino, you know, or I got excluded. You know? They kicked me out. So I'm doing a lot of things to change and get ready to even be in that gym again, you know, because when you're not living right and you're not healthy and you're not in shape, you feel out of place there, because it's the fucking so world class. Everybody's doing things. It's professional. So I just had to get my head on straight and come back, and then I'll get in touch with Dave and we'll figure out my next move, you know?
Okay. I'm hopefully sooner the better, because you are 30. You're probably in your peak, 32.
I'm freaking out. This is the longest I've ever been injured. I'm like, Dad, I don't know if this is just years of like degenerate behavior catching up with me and my body's like, all right, you've had enough, where it's like I'm 30 now and I really just am taking more time, because these injuries aren't new. Like, I've fucked up my ribs in wrestling, I've fucked up my knees in wrestling, and the rib cartilage is one of the worst injuries out of all of them, you know. And the knee scope, that went great. I mean, my meniscus is gone, so fuck it. I guess when I'm 40 I won't be running too much, but
now didn't you tech Nicky Ryan in 10 seconds?
Nicky Rod.
I mean, Nicky Rodriguez. Is that the guy you checked him?
I did check him, though. I think it was a few minutes in. That was at Flo's Flo Wrestling, who's number one thing. And that was at Hawkeye Arena, too. That was one of the best events. That was Nicky Rod. I checked him in a few minutes. Gordon, though. Gordon Ryan is who I checked in, like, 30 seconds.
You checked Gordon Ryan in 30 seconds. You just, like, threw him on the head, right?
Well, that dummy was saying he was like, because him and Bo had a grappling match. And after his grappling match, he gets on the mic and he's like, I couldn't beat Bo Nickel in wrestling, but I could beat Pat Downey. And I was like, bro, no, you cannot. Wrong. Like, you cannot beat me in wrestling ever. And then it took him a while to get me. He eventually got me because they sat us back down into some position that was favorable to him on the ground. But he couldn't get me down on the ground. He even played jiu-jitsu with him. We were going to stand up there all day.
I'm happy I talked to you because people were saying on forums, they're like, oh, he's not taking his fight seriously. He's not sparring. He's not doing any stand-up. And I'm like, that doesn't sound like this guy. But then now I realized you were hurt. Of course you're not doing any of those things. You're hurt.
Yeah, I really thought that I was just going to do a bunch of yoga and cardio, strength, you know, right? And like, oh, good. I was like, I'm going to go and fucking choke this bum out real quick. I know it's dumb. I'm cocky or arrogant, whatever the word is, but live in Discord, man. I don't give a shit. I'll do it again.
Now, how are the girls? How's the OnlyFans?
OnlyFans canceled me. I couldn't abide by their co-creator process.
Okay.
Apparently, you need consent.
Oh no!
Oh god!
Cut that bit out.
Yeah. When. Like, they have to consent to, like, posting it at them. And OnlyFans knows that they consented to posting it by them being tagged in it. So they canceled me because I wasn't giving these women their credit.
Okay, so you were having sex with the girls, filming it, putting it on OnlyFans.
And they loved it. Yeah, the bitches were the ones telling me to do it.
So the girls were in on it.
I'm breaking up. Yeah, they love it. It's like, you know, I'm fucking, maybe I'm catching a case here. I got to stop talking.
Well, so the girls were in on it, but they just weren't telling OnlyFans they were cool with it?
They didn't have OnlyFans. So the whole rule of OnlyFans is how OnlyFans knows that your co-creator is consenting to the co-creation is by them being tagged in it. So it was literally like something that they could have done. We could have just made them an OnlyFans. And by the time, you know, I was killing it on there too, man. Fuck, I'm pissed about that.
Got it. Now, did anybody go on it and be like, hey, I didn't want to see your dick. I thought I was going to get wrestling moves.
No, not really. It was more. It was actually the opposite. It was a bunch of fags. I just wanted to see my It was crazy. It was nuts.
I love this guy, man.
Yeah, it was literally all gay dudes, like, and I'm like, shit, this is kind of, now I felt gay. I was like, I'm probably good. Like, I can't from it. You know, I'm only like, you know, devaluing myself here in the long run, even though I'm making, you know, it can't be a good look.
So gay dudes wanted to see your cock and you're like, hey, this is me sparring or this is me doing sprawls. And then they're mad.
Yeah. I mean, more or less, like, you know, when you actually did put the stuff out there that I did originally want, like, you know, occasionally I'd roll a blunt or something, but in general, it was like Technique Tuesday. Nobody gave a fuck. I swear, it's sick.
But then when it was like Penis Thursday, all of a sudden.
When Technique Tuesday turned into Thought Thursday.
Yeah.
And they, I'm in the top 1%.
Oh my God. All right. Well, listen, Pat, you seem like you're in really good spirits, man. I'm a big fan. I know you're going to be. I'm telling you, I said Cormier is a world champion. I said that Chris Weidman is a world champion. I said that Caldwell is going to be world champion. All of them think. I think Pat Downey will be world champion. I'm standing by it. But prove me right.
That means a lot. Yeah. Thank you, man. I got a lot of people saying the opposite right now. So to hear that from you. But honestly, I appreciate that. I'm out here trying to prove myself right. You know, what's that cliche? Don't prove others wrong. Prove yourself right. So, yeah. I got to be Pat Downey, man. I come back from this. I always do. That's why
That's why, even though I'm like in a pile of shit right now, I still smell like a rose. You know what I mean?
Fuck yeah, man.
I am now a huge fan. He's me 30 years ago.
Without
the drugs.
Well, thank you, Pat, and have a good weekend, brother.
Hell yeah, fellas. Thanks for having me on, Adam. I'll talk to you, man.
Anytime. All right.
Excellent, dude. He's hysterical.
That guy's funny. You got to get him to do stand-up comedy.
Oh, dude, he's a riot.
Oh, my God. I mean, he's so much talent, though. That's so much talent. The kid, obviously. Yeah. I mean, he's right. He can come off a bender and beat you.
I mean, he's in a dark place. You can tell he's in a bit of a dark place.
You think so?
That's
what
I
got. He's down this road before. He's been kicked out of colleges.
I feel like he's just reassessing.
Kicked out of high schools, kicked out of colleges, kicked off teams. So the fact that he's on a track, shows me he's helping his friend get ready. He's not even getting himself ready. He's helping his buddy.
Yeah, but he was like, remember he said, he goes, you know, if I really want to take this seriously, if I really want to do this, I was like, if? There's some doubt in his head, you know. I don't know.
Of course. I mean, you know, that's what I like to talk. I don't like to talk to you after you win.
Exactly.
After you lose is when that's what everybody else.
When did he last lose?
It's about a couple months ago, 2 months, and it was a 25-1 favorite.
And it sounds true. Like his body took a beat too. So
yeah,
that's hard to get straight in your head too. I think.
Yeah.
Well, you can't go to a fight with a fucking broken rib. No. And I mean, it's just broken rib, broken this, can't spar, can't train. I'll just go in there, do some yoga, and go to a 24-hour fitness once a week. It's like, come on, man, like. You know, I mean, what do you, if there's ever a perfect storm for the other guy, but, you know, I telling you, man, that's what the kid needs. I hate to say it, but you know what? He learned that lesson on his second fight. How many times do we see these guys go 8-0, 10-0, then learn that lesson, and then they never recover? You know, he's better off learning that now. Learning he has a bad chin, or not a bad chin, learning he can get dropped on your second fight, I think is better than learning it on your 10th fight.
Yeah.
So, you know, lesson learned early. I mean, that's, but it's all about what he wants, you know? But that OnlyFans thing is hilarious. The fact that he, like,
he started OnlyFans to teach wrestling techniques.
I think it was like, you got to see his Instagram. There's a lot of hot, scandalous looking women around him. So I think, you know, he's just, he's an outlaw. I mean, he's, the kid is a, he is one of those guys that
what Bryce was talking about.
He is. I mean, the fact that he could get cut from a college team though, and then go out and become make the world team.
That's insane.
I mean, I wish that's the problem. I think sometimes with talent, is too much talent sometimes could be your biggest detriment.
Yeah, because you don't work as hard as you should. 100%.
You get away with shit that other kids can't get away with.
I have no idea.
Me neither. I've never been talented at anything.
I've always had to work for everything.
Everything. And then people go, oh, he's talented. Oh, really? It took me 10 years to get to where the fuck this guy got in 1 month. You know, but the problem is that guy in 1 month quits. Or has bad,
doesn't appreciate much.
All these guys, the internet, all these guys on who are TikTok famous, and they all of a sudden they're headlining. They don't know what they're gonna get it, and then they're gonna lose it. I've seen it happen so many times. You got there, but it didn't mean anything to you because you didn't.
Yeah. You didn't work for it. Yeah,
earn it. Yeah,
you don't have to give anything. Acting wise, how many people get stuff right away and then they never act again? And they quit as soon as they get three auditions that they don't get.
Yeah.
I've not got thousands of things. People only know the things you get.
Yeah.
They don't look, you don't see the 10,000 things you didn't get.
Yeah.
I always said, like, if my career was like symbolized of a fighter, I would win by the other guy breaking his hand, punching me in the head. eventually the guy's hand breaks. And I'm still there. And it's like, oh, this guy can't, maybe both hands too.
Yeah. I love it.
Bill, what do you got coming up?
Well, I'm in San Diego this weekend at the Laugh Factory. I don't know when this is coming out, but Friday, Saturday, that's it. And then that's it, man. That's it. And hey, watch Alaska Daily. If anyone watches TV, watch Alaska Daily on Hulu. Watch that season for me.
Aldo, what do you got coming up? Aldo, where can people follow you?
In my living room this afternoon and probably headlining in my bedroom tonight.
Nice.
But I got my club up and off the ground, baby. We got a club on 1938 14th Street in Santa Monica. We're teamed up with Santa Monica Striking.
Your wrestling club.
Nice. Monsters up and going. We're teamed up with Santa Monica Striking, so they're going to teach jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, kickboxing. And then we're going to try to make it like an MMA gym where you come in if you want to learn wrestling along with kickboxing or Muay Thai with wrestling. Then you'll have a couple classes that you'll go to all in the same place. It's exciting, scary, but exciting. Put out all my – I got no money left, so if this goes this goes belly up, Adam, guess who's moving in?
What do you mean you left? You've ever had money. Give me a break.
Right. Yeah. Well, what I had left. So I'll be moving it. You'll have a full-time babysitter, man.
You will 1,000%, although if anything ever happened, you would 100% be able to live here. Yeah, you'd be the
full-time
best.
Babysitter.
My daughter loves him so much. My daughter's best friend is like a 50-something-year-old biker. A super male dancer that may or may not have a leg breaker at one point in his life.
No, you guys see her. We played puppets together. She's freaking a riot. She's so smart, and the shit she says is insane, dude. It's so funny. Have you met his little girl?
Yeah.
The other day she goes, "Daddy, you're good at the big things. Mommy's good at the small things." I'm like,
that's actually very profound.
She must have snuck in the bedroom.
Oh my god, dude. She says. She's so funny, dude. I will be at the Ventura Harbor Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow night, Saturday night in Ventura. I think it's called the Copa Comedy Club now. It used to be the old Ventura Harbor. And then I got Minnesota coming up at the House of Comedy and Vancouver at the House of Comedy at the end of the month. But thank you guys so much. Thank you, Bryce.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on. And thank Pat Downey. Take care, guys.
See you guys. Bye.